And Brother Chauvin has been traveling in evangelism for 55 years. So give us a little update. Let us know what God's doing.
Just 22 years, that's all. But no, we appreciate this. A wonderful, wonderful thrill to be back at Huntsville Bible Baptist Church. And we love this place. We love all of you. Good to see some new faces here since we moved to Florida. And we have been just continuing on, as you know, our ministry is. And so I just got back from Peru, South America. We had wonderful, fruitful time down there. Now heading for Florida for a couple of weeks, and then over to the Philippines for a full month there. 2017, we have more foreign trips than I've had in any one year in all the 22 years. So appreciate your prayers, even though we've gone out. Would you please remember us and pray for us? We appreciate all of you. You're great friends. And so we have an ongoing ministry, and we appreciate Pastor Schwenke. I know his uncle better than I know him. And are you going to have him here sometime?
Yeah, next year.
Wow, you got to have Paul Schwenke. You've never, ever heard a guy play the accordion like he does. And great preacher as well, and you'll love him for meetings. So we're so thankful for the way God has worked everything out. We do pray for you regularly. And we'll continue to do so and pray for this dear man's ministry here. Great vision and just a worker, and we praise God for what he's going to do here. And so any questions you might have for me individually or about our ministry, certainly we'd be willing to talk with you about that. All right, Lord bless you. Thank you.
I thank you, Brother Chauvin. All right, take your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews this evening, Hebrews chapter number 11. And to just give everybody a heads up, Brother Dwayne, I need a new battery in this. Could you get me a new battery for this? So, Brother Mark, come grab this if you would. Just give everybody a heads up. After we're done preaching, we're going to take a love offering for the Chauvins. And so those of you that have money on you, great. If not, then you're going to take a piece of paper out and write a note that says, I owe the Lord $500,000 or whatever you want to put in the plate. And I believe we ought to just take care of the Chauvins on the road. And, of course, we understand as we travel 10 years in evangelism, it's feast or famine. And the summertime is famine, all right? And so those of you that have money, let's give it. Let's be a blessing. Hebrews chapter number 11 in your Bibles this evening. And notice there in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 24, the Bible says, by faith Moses, you want to put that on mute? You the man, Mark. All right. Thank you so much. All right. All right, we got a false start on that, all right? So throw the flag, we'll restart, all right? Verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Father, tonight, use your word, I pray, in our hearts to challenge us. Father, help us to follow in the footsteps of Moses, to walk by faith. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Of course, if you're here last Wednesday night, we talked about Moses. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, just going verse by verse through the different characters and really looking into their life. And last week, we dove into a mom and a dad that walked by faith. And there was a mom and dad that said, you know what, we may be living in a wicked day, in a wicked time, where the king's law, the king's commandment is to throw our boy into the Nile River. And yet there was a mom and dad that said, we ought to obey God rather than man, and they followed the Savior. Well, you know the story, how there they stood back as little Moses was in that basket, went floating down that Nile River. And there stood Mary, waiting to see how God was going to answer prayer. And what a wonderful privilege it is as parents to allow our kids to see God answer prayer. And I love it when my kids can say, we saw God answer this prayer because we prayed together. That's what Miriam got to experience. What's God going to do with Moses? How is God going to save him? How's God going to deliver him? And there that baby basket went floating by the Pharaoh's place and the palace, and Pharaoh's daughter's out there taking a bath. And there she comes, and she gets to that basket, and little baby Moses starts crying. And so what does she do? She calls for a nurse, and Moses' mom was the one that was able to take care of baby Moses. Understand, for the first 4 or 5 years of Moses' life, he was under the tutelage of his mother. under the leadership of his dad. Man, there was a mom and there was a dad that realized we just got a brief amount of time, a brief moment to impact Moses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a rebuke that is for me, because I think about my four kids. Man, I've just got a short window of time, and then they're going to be out of the house. I've got a brief time frame where I can train them and teach them in the way they ought to go for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading some studies on child development, and you realize that most children by the age of six, their character is developed, their work ethic is developed, their attitude on life is developed by 6 years old. And here's Moses growing up as a young child, is an infant, early toddler stages. He's growing up with a mom and a dad that is teaching him, this is what God expects from you. You are an Israelite, you are a Hebrew, you worship Jehovah God. Hey, you may be living in the palace of Pharaoh, you may be taught about all the gods of Egypt, but there was a mom and dad that taught Moses how to walk with God and how to live for God. This is what Dwight Pentecost said about Moses. It said this, it said, history provides some insight concerning the royal court at this time. Scholars tell us that this Pharaoh had a son who, because he was physically and mentally handicapped, was considered incapable of assuming the royal prerogatives to which he had been born. When he ascended the throne, his sister, Moses' mom, actually ruled the country. When Moses' uncle passed away, the plan and the mentality was Moses was going to take over Egypt, and Moses was going to be the leader and the ruler. And yet, what does the Bible say here in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 24? It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. As you read it about Moses' life, Moses lived to be 120 years old. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he grew up in the palace. He sat under the leadership and the training of the Egyptian teachers of that day, grew up with a life of luxury. And then from 40 to 80, the Bible says that he grew up he was on the backside of the desert. He was a shepherd. He took care of his father-in-law's sheep. Hey, he went from the palace to the backside of the desert. At 80 years old, remember, God called Moses by that burning bush. He said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to set my people free. And Moses packed back up, and God allowed him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Hey, Moses was a man that had three different frames of time in his life. And at 40 years old, the Bible says that Moses made a choice. Would you notice here in this story, would you notice, first of all, Moses' refusal? It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was around 40 years old. And what did Moses refuse? Understand, Moses refused the palace. He refused the wife that had been promised him. Moses said, forget the riches of this world. I am following Almighty God. You know, truth be told, folks, that would be a hard decision for all of us to make. You know, so many times when we read about the different characters in the Bible, we're like, yeah, if I was Moses, I would do that. Would you really? Would you consider the wealth that Moses... you think about Egypt, and you think about the wealth they had. I mean, if you've ever seen any of the history channels and their documentaries on the tombs of the pharaohs and the wealth of Egypt, man, it's unbelievable. When a pharaoh died, you understand he was buried with great wealth. Man, those golden face plates, man, those were big time, man, filled with diamonds and jewels. And man, I mean, it was luxury. What did Moses turn his back on? He turned his back on millions and billions of dollars. He said, you know what? Forget the servants. Forget the palace. Forget, as I make my way down the road, people bowing before me and proclaiming my name. Forget all the things that I can enjoy in this life. Moses said, I am refusing the palace, but I'm also refusing the wife that I've been promised. He left it all. He forsook that all. Why? Because Moses came to a place in his life where he had to make up his mind who he was going to serve. Can I say tonight, child of God, you may be standing on that fence. You may be at that precipice in your life. What am I going to do? Am I going to go the way God would have me to go? Or am I going to go the way the world would have me to go? And Moses said, you know what? No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb the mountaintops above. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And the Bible says that he refused the world and he followed God. Can I ask you tonight, child of God, has there been a time in your life when you made the choice to reject the world to follow the Savior? I wonder, has there been a time in your life where you can say, by faith, this is when I made my mind up to follow God? You know, if you make your mind up to follow God, there's no turning back. I think about my wife and I. Boy, we both can go back to a place in our life where we made the decision to forsake the world and to follow God. Has there been that time in your life? I may have shared this story, this illustration, but I was preaching a youth rally in Markville, New York, back, oh, probably 5 or 6 years ago now, and it was a Saturday morning. The youth pastor said, would you preach to the guys, and would you? I think my wife was giving a little devotion to the girls. And we said, no problem, that'd be great. So I remember we woke up, and right before we were both to do our separate, you know, split sessions, the youth pastor said, I'd like for these missionaries to give their personal testimony. And I remember the guy, man, we're having a great time. He's like, yeah, I'm a missionary to wherever. And it was a short, quick testimony. And I got up and I preached and had a good time with it. Well, I remember I got done preaching and the girls are still in session. I'm talking about, man, they are talking. I don't know what it is, ladies, but you guys like to talk, you know. And I mean, they're just going on and on and on. And finally, they're dismissed. And we're driving down the road heading to Virginia to preach. And Chrissy told me the story. She says, Steve, she said, it was unbelievable. She said, here's a missionary girl getting ready to go to the foreign mission field, and she just gave her testimony. She just started to cry. I don't know what it is about ladies with tears, you know, but started to cry. She gave her testimony, grew up in a Christian home, and her brother grew up in a Christian home. Same situation, same parents, same church, all the same things that surrounded her, surrounded her brother. Her brother's living for the world. She's living for God, going to the mission field. And she said to those teenagers, she said, teenagers, the reason I'm going to mission field, my brother's going to the world, living for the world, is because there was a point in my life where I made the decision to say no to the world and to follow the Savior. Her brother never made that decision. And you know, people that are serving God today, people that are living for God, they've made the choice, I'm living by faith, I'm walking with God, I'm going with God. Moses at 40 years old said, goodbye world, goodbye riches of this world, I'm following the Savior. So there was a choice he made. By faith, he made the decision. Mama can't make the decision for you. Your church can't make it. Somebody can't pressure you into it. You've got to, like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. I wonder this evening, have you made the decision to follow God? So there was a refusal. We saw his age. He was 40 years old. His actions, he rejected the wrong, rejected the treasures of Egypt. By the way, I Googled this, that phrase, the treasures of Egypt. You know what treasures of Egypt? You Google it, you know what pulls up? A slot machine. So let me just say, it's not the slot machine, all right? But he refused. He didn't say no to Vegas, all right? He said no to the world, all right? But what was his action? He rejected the wrong, and he went with God. What did he do? It says in verse 24 again. It says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He changed his last name. He changed his identity. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hey, he said, you know what? I'm changing my last name. I'm going with God. I'm following God. I love the story. What did he do? He made the decision to walk with God. So we see his refusal. Notice in verse number 25, notice his re-evaluation. Why are you doing this? Why are you making this choice? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had a choice to make. He had a choice. He re-evaluated. He sat down and he started to do the math. He made some decisions. I wonder, have you made the decision? I think about the story of choosing. My girls love going to Dunkin' Donuts, right, Lily? And you love going because you get donuts, right? But you know what's really pressure-packed is when I go with my girls and they've got to make a decision right away what donut they want. And you talk about pressure. That's major pressure. You want a Boston cream? Do you want a strawberry donut? Do you want a chocolate donut? Do you want the chocolate glazed donut? Do you want the one with sprinkles on top? Do you want the maple one? Do you want the manager special? I mean, hey, decisions to make, right? And may I put pressure? I put time limits. Hey, I want to know right now, what do you want? Hey, that's brutal. Hey, Moses had to make up his mind. Hey, Boston cream or strawberry donut? Boston cream or glazed donut? I wonder, have you reevaluated, sat down, and made the choice? He says, choosing rather what? To suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I love how the Bible talks about how there's pleasure in sin for a season. We understand that. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There is a price that is attached to sin. though Satan may dangle that bait out there, and boy, it may look fancy, it may look fun. Hey, there will be a payday, there will be a reckoning. You will suffer for living for the world. You will. There will be regret, there will be remorse. I was reading this week in my Bible about David's decision to sin with Bathsheba. And boy, you talk about David. There David is in the palace. And what did he do? He first of all, he looked out. Boy, he meditated upon it. And then, man, he made the decision to participate in it. And then he made the decision to cover up his sin. And then he made the decision to continue to live out of the will of God for almost a year of his life. Hey, what did David do? David made the choice to live out of the will of God. You know what? Sin was probably fun for a while. But understand, when his child was died, when Absalom rebelled and was killed hanging from that oak tree, when his kingdom was divided, let me say, it was not fun for David. And friend, tonight, you and I stand at a place, what are we going to make? He made the choice to live for God. Living for God has never made sense to the world. But God's way is not man's way. God says, I'm looking for you to step out of the mold and step out of the norm and willing to follow God. So we see, number one, we see his refusal. Number two, we see his reevaluation. Notice in verse 26, why did he make the choice? It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Why are you making that choice, Moses? Because he was esteeming. Somebody told me that word esteeming is an accounting term. I'm not sure. I'm not an accountant, all right? But that's what somebody told me. What did Moses do? He sat down and did the math. What's the math? The math is 2 plus 2 equals 4. He sat down and he had to think about it. All right, here's the consequences for going for the world, and here's the consequences for going for God. So he refused the treasures in Egypt. Why? Because he realized, hey, living for eternity makes a whole lot of sense. You say, preacher, why does somebody give up America to go to India to live for God like Brother Knapp did? Well, I guess Brother Knapp's from there, so that doesn't count. All right, scrap that illustration, all right? But why does somebody leave the comforts of home? I think about, all right, David Livingston left England, right? Went to Africa, trailblazer in Africa. Why did he do that? Because he had the call of God, I'm willing to go. Why did Jim Elliot and the Nate Saint and the other three missionaries that went to South America, why were they willing to leave the comforts of the United States? Because they had the call of God upon their life. They sat down, they said, you know what? We can live for the temporal, or we can live for the eternal. And they did the math and said, you know, it just makes sense to live for God. Hey, whether you have a fruitful ministry like David Livingston did and be the trailblazer for Africa, or be like, you know, Jim Elliot and Nate Sane, and just go down there and really not win anybody to Christ and die that martyr's death, but by your death, you know, cause many others to go to the field. You say, why did Moses make the choice? Because he sat down, he did the math, and I love what it says in verse 26. He says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What motivated him to go? It's all about the Savior. He had the right view of the Savior. He had the right understanding of the Savior. He realized that living for God is what it's all about. Living for eternal things is what it's all about. He refused the world, and he started to walk with God. So what happened? You know the story? How he went out there one day, said no to Egypt, and what did he do? He went out to be among his brethren. And here came an Egyptian man, and he's beating some of those slaves. You know the story? He murdered that man, buried him in the sand. Boy, the warrant was out. We're looking for Moses. What happened? Moses made the choice to follow God, and then he went on the backside of the desert. You know, sometimes when you make the choice to live for God, it's very lonely. Sometimes when you make the decision, I'm selling out for God, it's an empty time. You ask the question, am I really accomplishing anything for God? Here I am, I'm on the backside of the desert. What am I getting done for God? And yet it's during those years on the backside of the desert that God is forming us and God is molding us to be able to do something greater for the Savior. I love the illustration, I believe it was Jeremiah that used about the potter and the clay. I don't know if you've ever participated in making clay and modeling clay, but you know, you go to the potter's shop. Maybe it's at Sturbridge Village there in Massachusetts, or you know, some other place. You know, the old potter, man, you got that clay. What do they do? Man, they wet their hands and they start to work on that clay. Well, what happens if that potter comes across a hard rock or a hard piece of clay? What do? Man, they remove that hard part and they start all over again. They reform it and they remake it into an image, a vessel that is meet according to the master's use. That's exactly what God did with Moses on the backside of the desert. You see, for 40 years, Moses grew up thinking that he was the man. For 40 years he grew up thinking, I'm going to set Israel free. For 40 years he thought, hey, I've got it all figured out. And for 40 years, from 40 to 80, he had to live on the backside of the desert realizing, I don't have anything figured out. It's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. And he had to realize, you know what, if without God I'm nothing. And finally after 40 years in the desert, 40 years taking care of some sheep and some goat on the backside of the desert, God came to Moses and God said, Moses, now I want you to go back to Egypt. There in Exodus 3, Moses said, God, I can't go back to Egypt. I'm an outlaw. God, I can't go back to Egypt. I can't speak. God, I can't go back to Egypt. I'm a nobody. And God said, Moses, you may be a nobody, but I'm a somebody. And boy, you may have messed up in your past, but it's okay. I'm with you for the future. And God said, Moses, you may think you're not able to speak, but I'm the one that made the tongue. I'm the one that said, I'll be with you. And Moses, I've called you to go. Now go back and do what I've called you to do. And the Bible calls Moses the meekest man. Why? Because Moses learned to walk with God in the desert. He learned how to be a humble servant of God. And the Bible says by faith he went back to Egypt. Look in verse number 28. And it says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Hey, remember the Israelites, man, that's there. As Moses goes back with the plagues, he says, God's going to lead us out of Egypt. And then the plague, first plague was performed. And Pharaoh said, you guys got too much time on your hand. He said, you guys go get your own hey, you go get your own grass and you continue, you know, meeting the certain demands that we have, the quota. And boy, the Israelites complained to Moses, and yet Moses still had faith. He said, you know what? God told me it was going to come to pass. And Moses had that faith. And Moses said, God's on our side. And though there may not have been a whole lot that were on Moses' side, Moses still had that faith that was impacting the Israelites there on that day. You know the story of the 10th plague, the plague of the Passover. Pharaoh said, get out of here. The Israelites left on that Passover night. And it says in verse number 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. You know the story there? Man, they come to the Red Sea, and boy, they're backed up. Here comes the Egyptian army. And what do the Israelites do? They complain to Moses. They said, Moses, what'd you do? Lead us here to die in the wilderness? Hey, it'd be better if we had died in Egypt. And they complained against Moses, but Moses was one that lifted up that staff. He was the one that was dependent upon God. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying you look at Moses' life, and he was a man that thought he was all that for 40 years, to a man that knew he was nobody, to a man that walked with God and had power with God. Moses was a man that impacted a generation. Why? Because Moses came to a place in his life where he said, I'm not hanging on to mom and dad's faith. I'm not piggybacking off everybody else's faith. I'm not piggybacking off preachers and my parents and the missionaries. But no, I'm making the decision for myself to walk with God. And that decision impacted his life and impacted the nation as a whole because he made the choice to follow the Savior. So can I ask you tonight, child of God, really simply is this. Have you made the choice? Have you made the decision? The decision is yours. The choice is yours. I hope tonight you and I both would make the decision. We're going to follow the Savior. We're going to walk with God by faith. Moses was a man that refused the world. Number two, he reevaluated. And number three, his reasoning was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this reminder. Lord, I believe most tonight have made that decision somewhere along the lines of their life to walk with God. I've talked to many here, and Lord, they can talk about the day they were saved, but also the day they decided to serve God. But Lord, I believe there might be some tonight that have never made that decision. Lord, they're kind of stuck in neutral, and Lord, they need to decide to follow you. I pray that we would all make the decision to serve you. Lord, may we all make the decision to, by faith, walk with God. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We're not going to have a come forward invitation, but I just wonder how many tonight would say, Pastor, I needed that message. God spoke to my heart, and I need to make the choice to, by faith, walk with God. Would you pray for me? God's touched my heart. That's me. If that's you, would just slip your hand up all over the room. God spoke to my heart. Good. Good. Praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, sure do thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. And now I pray that we would use this message in our lives. Lord, help it to impact us tomorrow and Friday, and this weekend. Father, would you please let us walk. Help us be a church that walks by faith. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen.